Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity, and we're in ordinary time now. The Easter season finished with Pentecost, but during ordinary time there are three feasts of the Lord. This one, and then next week we have the Feast of the Body and Blood of the Lord, also known as Corpus Christi. And then clear at the end, in November, we'll have the Feast of Christ the King. So those are the three feasts of the Lord that happen within ordinary time. So Trinity Sunday celebrates that doctrine of the Trinity, which is a doctrine or a teaching of the church that developed after the Bible was in its complete form. And this is one of those things that is a part of our Catholic understanding, that we not only rely on Scripture, but we also rely on the tradition that developed in consort with Scripture, of course, but after the New Testament. So those New Testament writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, they, through their experience of the resurrection, began to relook at the Bible, which for them was the Old Testament, and they read it with new eyes. And so they began to see Christ everywhere. They began to see Moses as a type for Christ, Noah as a type for Christ, Jeremiah as a type for Christ. In other words, they began to see that what St. Luke says in his gospel story about the two men going to Emmaus on Easter Sunday, the Lord fell in with them. They didn't recognize him in his risen state, but he began to explain all of the scriptures to them and showed them how everything referred to him. And he says, you have to understand that the Son of Man had to suffer and die and rise on the third day. And it all becomes clear to them. And they say later, were not our hearts burning within us as he explained the scriptures to us on the road? And so that's the beginning of tradition, the beginning of the looking back at both the Old and New Testaments and seeing certain truths there that were not evident before. But with those new eyes, we begin to see certain things. Jesus, for example, speaks often of his Father. And he also speaks often of his Spirit, sending his Spirit as a new advocate. Who will, as the reading this morning said, will tell you all the truth, will lead you into all truth. And that truth includes that tradition that developed. So even though the New Testament never uses the word Trinity, the three different persons are spoken of rather frequently in the New Testament. So you take that first reading from the Book of Wisdom. And the Book of Wisdom was written late in the Old Testament, probably only about 100 years before Christ. So the notion of wisdom had developed almost to the point where it was speaking of itself as God, but not quite. So the reading begins that wisdom is speaking, and he says, I was there with God from the beginning, before the world, before the oceans, before the mountains, before the clods of the earth, I was there with God. And I knew God. And I played on the face of the earth. And I found delight in the human race. Beautiful poetic expression there. And it comes close to claiming that wisdom is God, but it can't go all the way and say that. But the early theologians of the church were able to look back on this reading and all that wisdom literature, and they were able to say, you know, really, wisdom is Christ. It's the second person of the Trinity. It's the Son. Christ is the physical embodiment of wisdom. He is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He is the wisdom of God. And so in that light, St. John, in the prologue to his gospel, can say something that's very similar to that first reading from Wisdom. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him and through him everything came into being, and apart from him, nothing came to be. That's the prologue of St. John's Gospel. It's very similar to that passage from Wisdom, but it goes all the way and says, Wisdom was God. God was wisdom. In the same way that the New Testament authors and the theologians of the church have been able to say, God is love. God is light. God is infinite truth. So, the doctrine of the Trinity is so important in the history of the church because there is diversity in God and yet unity at the same time. This was problematic in the early centuries as they were ironing out this doctrine of the Trinity, the divine and human natures of the Son. And it was hard fought, and they were accusing each other of heresy, and they were exiling each other, and emperors got involved, and it was a very difficult time. We take all this for granted because this is all settled before we were born. But as they struggled through determining this, a big part of the problem was that one of the unique insights of Judaism was that we only had one God, monotheism. Polytheism was the religion of all the other regions of the Mediterranean at that time. The Romans, the Greeks, the Mesopotamians, they all had many gods. But the insight of Judaism was monotheism. And that was so sacred to them. And then all of a sudden, you're talking about Jesus as being God. Well, but you're also talking about the Father as being God. How can we reconcile that? Isn't that a ruination of monotheism? And then you bring the Holy Spirit into it, and you've got three. How do you hold to the fact that there's only one God when you're talking about three distinct persons? But I think the insights of the Christian tradition have seen something here that's very important for us, and that is, there can be three distinct persons and yet one God because of love, because of dying love, because none of those three people, those three persons, is defensive or defending themselves, but only giving. They can, and of course this is exemplified by Jesus on the cross, giving his entire life, all the way to the death. Unreserved giving. How can they do that? Because for all eternity, there has never been an emptying of love. Love is infinite. And so the Father and the Son and the Spirit can give themselves completely without ever having to worry about it running out. There is no bottom to infinite love. And so in giving themselves completely and receiving that back from the other two, that is love, that is God. Now we're a little different from that. We live in great fear. We are afraid that if we would give it all, we wouldn't have anything left. And then where would we be? And what if the person that we're loving and dying for doesn't give back? Where will we be? We don't trust in other human beings to love us if we would give our all. But the Trinity, they trust that. We are afraid that if we gave our all, we would be empty. And they don't have that fear. But something important for us to recall. We are created in God's image. There is no bottom to us either. We just think there's a bottom. We are afraid that we'll run out. But we wouldn't. And in fact, the more we empty, the more we get filled. Doesn't Jesus say that over and over again? The only way to gain your life is to lose your life. The only way to win is to lose. The only way to life is through death. I mean, he's only reflecting what's already forever in the Trinity. And that's our DNA as well. We just don't know it. We don't trust it. But it's there. And so we gather around this altar week after week to celebrate love, infinite love. And the sign we have of that infinite love is death. So we remember the death of Christ on the cross. We remember that complete self-offering that he gave. And we memorialize it, and we say that it's as present on this altar this morning as it was on Calvary 2,000 years ago, that it never ends, that he's always dying and always rising. And we who are members of his body, who have immersed ourselves in his death through baptism so that we can also share in his resurrection, we are not afraid of dying. We are not afraid that we're going to run out. We're not afraid that there won't be reciprocation. And even if there isn't, it won't be the end of us anyway. And that's why St. Paul says in that second reading, we boast of the glory of God in our very bodies, and even we boast of our afflictions, the persecutions that we have to suffer for the faith, the various unfair things that life throws at us. We boast of those things because through them we learn our invincibility. We learn that affliction leads to building of character. It all leads to hope. And hope is that trust that despite anything that might happen to us, we are going to share in the life, the love, and the glory of God forever.